Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Any citizen scientists out there? Citizen science, which has no specific universal definition, often refers to regular folks who are not professionally employed as scientists that help in one way or another to collect and provide information which is useful for those doing science as their regular occupation. The annual Audubon bird count is a good example of citizen science. In this case, the people who contribute to that important effort actually have a good knowledge of birds and often have undergone some training. It's a venerable endeavor that's been going on for over 100 years, and it's had a huge effect on our understanding of the migratory patterns of various bird species. Other examples of traditional science might include people who help to monitor water quality in bays or rivers by carefully taking water samples that go to labs to be tested over time. Weather observers often have rain or snow collectors at their homes and measure precipitation, then call or send that information into a central collection point. Their efforts help to create records of weather behavior over years and even decades. Some folks spend part of their vacations on archaeological digs, sifting dirt to look for ancient artifacts. All of this volunteer effort is great and valuable work. But what if you're not able to spend part of your vacation on an archaeological dig, or if you don't know enough about birds to help with the Audubon bird count? Is there any way that you can contribute to the progress of science? Today, there certainly is, thanks to the Internet. Perhaps the simplest thing that a person today can contribute to the progress of science is simply idle computer processing time. Most folks, or even businesses, don't use their computers every moment of every day. A dozen years ago, someone at the University of California at Berkeley realized that these unused computer processing cycles could be a rich source of computing power for scientists. The first widespread project to seek volunteer computer power was the SETI at Home project. SETI, S-E-T-I, stands for Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. The project collects and processes signals from outer space and then processes them, looking for patterns that suggest they might contain messages from civilizations on other planets. That project took off, and there are over 150,000 people today who allow their computers to be used to help analyze these signals from space. These volunteers are providing distributed computing power much greater than most universities have at their disposal. This is a great example of what's referred to as distributed computing, and it's a significant resource, not only for SETI at Home, but for many other scientific research projects today. With SETI at Home as a model, researchers at Berkeley designed a software platform that could be used not just for analyzing radio signals from space, but also for many other distributed computing research purposes. And Boink was born. Boink is not a children's TV show, although it does sound a lot like the venerable children's program featuring Gerald McBoingboing. Instead, Boink stands for Berkeley Open Infrastructure for Network Computing. If you point your browser to http://boinc.berkeley.edu, you'll find links to SETI at Home and to over 60 other research projects that would appreciate the opportunity to make use of the idle computer processing cycles on your computer. Once you download the Boink software, you can choose to attach your computer to projects ranging from malariacontrol.net, which, as its name implies, is working to understand and eradicate malaria in the world, to Galaxy Zoo, a scientific enterprise exploring the galaxies of outer space. In fact, there are currently 68 research projects registered with Boink, and probably many others that aren't. Over 360,000 volunteers are contributing over 5 teraflops of computing power to these projects every day. To put that in some perspective, that's an aggregate computing power that is twice as great as the power of the largest supercomputer in the world. So, if you'd like to be a citizen scientist, perhaps the easiest thing you can do is to contribute some of your computing power to a research effort that interests you. But what if you're itching to do something more than simply contribute your computer's idle processing cycles? Are there any scientific efforts you can become actively involved in from the comfort of your home? You bet. The past few years have seen the advent of what's come to be called not distributed computing, but distributed thinking. NASA may have been one of the first to tap the thinking ability of citizen science volunteers with its famous ClickWorkers project to help identify features of the Martian landscape based on images sent back to Earth from space exploration vehicles. In that project, volunteers look at parts of the images sent from space and try to identify, for example, craters on the surface of Mars, a task at which computers are woefully inadequate. This effort has been so successful that the NASA website now has a variety of tasks that volunteers can help with. Take a look at http://science.nasa.gov/citizen-scientists. Another space-oriented project is Galaxy Zoo. In this work, volunteers view images of space collected by the International Sloan Digital Sky Survey Consortium and try to determine whether galaxies are circular or elliptical in shape. Once again, the efforts of citizen science volunteers have made a huge contribution to this work. Over 1.25 million galaxies have been identified to date and at least 17 scientific papers published. Soon, Galaxy Zoo volunteers will be turning their attention to data collected by the Hubble Space Telescope. If outer space doesn't interest you, perhaps inner space might. The Rosetta at Home project enlists volunteers to help imagine how proteins fold. This is another task for which computers are essentially useless, but understanding protein shape is critical to finding cures for many types of genetic disease. Note that volunteering for any of these projects requires no special training or scientific knowledge. All that they require is an interest and an ability to look carefully at tremendously dense and interesting images and classify what you see. Links to all of these projects, by the way, are available at the BOINC website. So, if you'd like to contribute to the progress of science, but aren't able to help with bird counts or archaeological digs or taking water samples, thanks to the internet, you still have options and can make a real difference in the world through the computer in your home or business or library. It's a fine example of technology being used for the greater good, and we'll keep trying to find those, as well as examples which aren't so good, right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.